My heart is happy because once a month, our friend and neighbor and Boston culinary rock star, Tiffany Faison, drops by, and she is doing that right now here in Studio 2.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tiziana?
I'm doing very well. I have so many questions for you today.
I'm here for it. All the questions.
And I got a little bit of a theme for us today because we've been talking a bunch on the show, Tiffany, over the last few weeks in for different reasons at different times. About food and how expensive it is, and how to eat well and eat happy, feed your body and feed your soul, and not break the bank.
Hard right now.
Yeah,
it's challenging.
So I'm hoping that's one of the things that we can talk about today.
Yes, I would love to talk about that.
And I'm wondering if that is something that you're kind of seeing. Okay, so like we know how that affects the average person's pocketbook.
Sure, yeah.
How does it affect the chef and restaurant's pocketbook?
It's interesting because I think that there's maybe like an assumption in the world that we have things figured out in restaurants where we get like cheaper food or we have better deals on food, and we don't. That's not true for us at all. It's never been true. And typically the higher quality the food, the more expensive it becomes.
Yeah.
So, we're feeling it. Everyone's feeling it. You're feeling it at the grocery stores. You're feeling it at farmers markets. You're feeling it in restaurants. I mean, a case of romaine for me used to be, and this is a commodity romaine. We're not talking like the most exquisite organic.
Artisanal fancy pants.
Yeah, exactly. This is like run-of-the-mill romaine. Used to walk in at $36 a case, and it's $122
right now. Oh my gosh.
So when people talk about the price of a burger, it's not just like, what is the price of the meat? My romaine's gone up. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's everything. So it's tough. It's really tough. And so, I do think the perception is like when I go to restaurants, restaurant prices should stay the same. But when I'm at the grocery store, the prices are so much more than they used to be. So we all feel it. As we know, restaurants are a business of like really slim margins. We can't step over dimes to get to dollars. So I think there's an opportunity for the average consumer and the average home cook to start thinking like we think in restaurants in terms of food waste and how to get the most out of things. So I think that as hard as this is for all of us right now, it does present an opportunity for us to really think about how to use ingredients in different ways, how to have no scrap and no waste. And that's something we really focus on in the restaurants for the sake of the planet, the sake of respecting the ingredients in the food, but also just for our bottom line. Like that's how we function anyway. I dig through trash cans at the restaurant.
To do what?
Well, to find scraps. Like often I'll find like new cooks who don't consider the impact of throwing something away. And so anyone who's been with me for a while don't try those games. But
so you're checking up to see.
I will do. You know, if I see like a really conveniently placed paper towel or something over a trash can, I will lift it up and go in and see what's in there. So, we'll just have a conversation about we don't throw those things away.
I'm laughing about that for a couple of reasons. Kind of both funny haha and funny ironic. So part of the reason that this has been on my mind, Tiffany, is so I have a 17-year-old who's about to go to college for music, wants to be a professional musician,
awesome.
Has also gotten very interested in cooking, and has been saying to me, Mom, I want to be a professional musician, which means I will don't not anticipate having very much money.
I think musicians and chefs can kind of live in the same world where it's like you don't make any money until maybe someday you make a little and you can do well.
Well, so this is what said the paper towel partly made me think of it because I'm always telling him you do not need to use 7 paper towels to dry your hands.
One will do it.
Exactly. But also because I was thinking about your ranch chicken. Like one of the things we talked to you about early on.
I owe Titus and Marquise ranch chicken. Every time I walk in, I know they're like
where's the ranch chicken? And that's something you used
will make
to make.
It, so I know. Marquise is behind us like, where's the chicken?
Our senior technical director is like waving at Tiffany through the glass saying, where's my ranch chicken?
I'm not walking in this building without ranch chicken ever again. I promise.
It's something that you made in college.
Yeah.
And it kind of represents that cooking on a budget that I think we think people like you never did. But
right.
You did.
Everyone has done it. I think, I didn't come out of the womb making like, you know, seared foie gras. It works. I grew up with really humble means. Like my mom was a dump cook. Everything started and ended with a can of cream of chicken soup.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were a military family that was on a really, really tight budget all the time. So, I learned to like make a lot out of a little, which is, I think, what we do when you come up without like extraordinary means or and my mom was, you know, she grew up Southern and there's the idea of wasting food because for the most part, they grew a lot of their own. You don't grow your own food and waste it. You know what I mean? You understand the cycle of like all the work that it takes, the care, the, you know, understanding with weather cycles and, you know, hyper sort of climates and all the things that affect, you know, just a sizable garden in your backyard. You know, you know what works and what doesn't, and you don't always have the luxury of everything growing well. So there's the idea of waste doesn't happen. You just don't do it.
So I have two questions for you. You can answer them in either order that you want, right? So one question is a tip for avoiding food waste that you've become sort of a master at that other people may not think about. And then let's just do that one.
Okay. I'll give a couple. So any sort of meat scraps end up in a stock for me.
Interesting.
And so I'll make like veg scraps, meat scraps, they will all go in a stock. And so I'll just make stock at home and then I put them in ice cube trays or little like handleable containers that they're not giant. So if I just need a little, I can do that. I will also make pestos out of like any leftover greens or like the butt of lettuce or whatever it might be. I'll cut it up and make pestos or some sort of like green sauce out of it.
So with the stock, what goes with the meat scraps and the vegetable scraps to make it hearty?
Water.
That's it, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I'm just making like a really simple stock, if it's not like a big beef stock, I'm really taking like all of my scraps for like, say I have, you know, carrot peelings and onion butts and celery or whatever, any sort of smashed garlic or whatever it might be, chicken carcasses. If there's, even if it's like I get a roasted chicken from the grocery store, I do not throw that carcass away. So I'll just simmer that with a good amount of like whatever I have for a veg and water. There's some conversation about like not letting your stocks be like cloudy and milky. Ignore all of that. It does not matter. I'm not looking for like clear stuff. I'm looking for like to use food and for it to be flavorful.
And are there any greens that you can't make pesto out of? Kale, spinach? I don't know. I'm making this up. But
yeah. It would be hard to think about one. Now, I like bitter greens, so I don't worry about bitterness in there. If it's, you know, spinach and romaine butts, is it going to be like the world's most like pungent or flavorful? Maybe not. So throw a little bit of like throw some parsley in there, throw whatever else you have in there. But no, I don't think that, some harder herbs I wouldn't throw in there, like rosemary or maybe even a little sage would be fine. No, I think you can make pesto out of almost anything.
So that, this ingredients list you just gave brings me to my second question. And we're speaking with Tiffany Faison. She's dropped by to say hello to us. And
we're talking about you guys.
We love so having nice. You. Like I said, it's good for my heart.
It's insane. It's like a beautiful little checkout for my day.
So the other thing that I wanted to ask you about in this is these substitutions, right? You've made a couple of references about key ingredients, and you said a little earlier in our conversation, you know, figuring out what that one ingredient is or how I can substitute something more affordable. Mm-hmm. Are there a handful of foods, herbs, et cetera, that are sort of, you can use this anywhere, it's affordable, stock this one?
There's a lot. I'll tell you what's typically in my fridge. And I think people think I have this, you know, extensive. I don't.
I'm actually picturing this massive.
No, it's just me. So I don't do that. And I'm really careful about how much I buy when I go to the grocery store. I'm frequently traveling. So I think a lot about what's going to be left in my fridge. For me, it is always, I'll get good greens, like some sort of salad greens where I always have that in my fridge. And if I'm eating salads, I will eat, you know, whatever it is, I'll make a salad out of. I'll save the rest of the greens. And if I'm, you know, I don't know, roasting a piece of salmon or chicken or whatever it is I'm doing, I will throw those greens in at the last minute, like the butts and like the scraps and stuff, and just wilt them with whatever it is that I'm cooking. I always have garlic. I always have onions. Just in
case.
Fresh garlic. Fresh garlic, fresh onions always. I usually have thyme. It's hearty and it doesn't wilt very easily, and it's great for roasting chicken, roasting salmon, like, you know, accenting any sort of greens that you're cooking. It's really can be used with so many things. It's great. Cilantro, parsley usually, and I use both the stems and the leaves. I love the stems. They're my favorite part. Yep. It's almost like having like herb caviar that pops in your mouth. It's super delicious and lovely. For me, like little cherry tomatoes almost always. And if I don't eat them all, if I know that I'm like on my way out, I will just throw them in eggs in the morning or whatever it might be. They're easy to eat, or I'll take them, like put them in a bag and take them on the plane with me and just have a little snack.
Yeah. All of that sounds delicious.
Yeah, eggs always. I mean, lately it's like $40 for
eggs are so expensive.
Eggs. Yeah. Well, we had an avian flu, so it's like a perfect confluence of a bunch of things, right? So that's not just like normal inflation. it's that flu that just really wiped out like such a significant population of chickens in the United States. So, which anytime that happens, I always think about how we're farming, what we're doing, and we just needs to change.
All right. I want to look ahead now into 2023. And to do that, I'm going to look behind. So back in November, we did a Friendsgiving.
I still think about
with
it.
You. I do too.
So great.
And I loved everything about it, including confession time here, that pizza that you brought that was a turkey terrific. I actually think about that thing like every day.
Okay.
Sometime right. Every day when I think about that. And of course, you made that up. And so I'm wondering, what are you excited about making up or experimenting with in 2023? What's the new Tiffany dish or item that you're kind of excited about?
I think there's about? Kind of two worlds for me. So things that I'm working on developing professionally. We are doing a sandwich pop-up at Dive Bar in the month of March. And so we have a bunch of like fun different sandwiches. I love sandwiches. I'm such a good sandwich is an art. And you can't, you can make your own sandwich, but a bologna sandwich made by anyone else will taste better than a gourmet sandwich made for myself by me. Do you know what
really?
I mean? I just think it's like, it's part of those like rules of life. Like someone else making you a sandwich is so much better than any other sandwich
it's
you can make.
It's the love they put into
it. It is. So working on sandwich pop-ups, there's some really creative stuff that we're working on for that. And then like, we made a turkey sandwich that has like fried pickles in it. It's the best turkey sandwich I've ever had. It was wild. We worked on that yesterday. Working on more creative pizzas and just like continuing to work, think about new ingredients for pizzas at Tenderoni's. And pushing that. Personally, I like to pick areas of the world where my depth of knowledge is not as deep or vast as it should be. So right now I'm working on South Indian cooking and I'm also working on North African cooking.
Awesome. All right. Now, a couple of other things. One, any shout outs you want to give to chefs or restaurants this month around Boston?
The long list for the Beard Awards was just released.
That's right.
So we've got some Northeast people on the list, which is great. So really excited for all of them. My friend Leanne Wong, not regional, but she has been cooking in Hawaii forever and ever and ever. Just quietly like grinding and doing her thing, really largely uncelebrated, and she finally made the long list, so I'm thrilled for her.
That's really exciting.
We have, and it's always great to see like our stars from New England on those lists. So yeah, those are my shout outs for now.
All right, and you and I want us to tell people how they can join us next Monday night.
I'm so excited.
We're going to be together at WBUR City Space.
We have a whole hour together.
We
do. This is going to be lots of fun, and you can ask me almost anything.
Excellent.
So we are going to be at WBUR City Space, which if you have not been, friends, it is stunning. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful space.
So we're going to sit and chat about all things food and culture and whatever it is you want to ask me. Open book, AMA. And then we're going to have some little noshes in the lobby and hang out with friends.
And they'll be gorgeous and delicious. Yes. And it starts at 6:30 Monday night, WBUR City Space. For more information and to get tickets, you can go to WBUR.org/events. She's even more dynamic in person. You should come join us. Tiffany Faison.
You're so good to me.
Thanks. And
Tiziana,
I'll see you again Monday night.
I know. It's date night Monday night, you and me.
There you go.